You know, I think, you know, I can't lead. Some of y'all are blessed singers. Shame on y'all for not doing praise and worship songs. Y'all got talent in here. Come on, get up here and sing, right? Lead us in some praise and worship songs. It's okay to do some stuff upbeat every now and again. James chapter 4. Man, I had a message all planned out for tonight. I had a message all planned out for Wednesday night. And God's been dealing with my heart on slowing down a little bit, taking one day at a time, not be so concerned about the things of tomorrow or the things of next year, to where we get in a hurry and we start overlooking the things that's right in front of us. And God, this is just something God's been dealing with me on. And I had a message ready for tonight that I thought I was going to preach. But guess what? I had a plan. God messed my plan this morning while I was making hamburger gravy for my family. I made it yesterday morning, but this morning I was heating it up. And me and Danielle was sitting there, and I took that hamburger gravy and I put it over a couple of biscuits, you know, and there were some still simmering in the pot over there, and the kids hadn't got up yet. And I seen this vapor coming out of the top of that pan. Out of the top, you know how vapor does? It just, you count for 1 second, you see that vapor, and guess what? It's gone. And God laid on my heart right then, where is that verse that says that life is just but a vapor and goes away? I couldn't get to the kitchen table fast enough to start taking down notes what God laid on my heart. And that's the God's honest truth. I thought I had a plan. But this morning, God revealed himself to me through hamburger gravy. And I'm telling you, if we would just keep our eyes open on the little things, beg God to speak to us every second of every day. That is a prayer that He wants to answer, that He will answer if we're sincere about it. Speak to my heart, God, however you want to speak to me. The title of this message, pastor does titles, so I said, well, I'll do a title. A Life of Significance, ... hamburger gravy. Hank wanted me to preach, thank God for do-overs again. One of my favorite messages I ever did. God laid on my heart. Hank Alderman gave me that. Playing golf with Hank, I won't go into it, but anyway. How many of you here tonight have plans this evening when you get home? How about plans for something later this week? Think about it. Think right now in your head. How about plans for something a little bit later in the year? Some of you, most of you are retired, based on this crowd, I think. I want to retire in about 15 years. And many of us have different plans, okay? Many of us, we all have some kind of plans, and they're different. Whether it be for tonight when you get home, whether it be for tomorrow morning when you wake up, whether it be later in the week, or whether it be later in this year. Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas coming up, plans, family, plan. Plan. Everything's a plan. We've got it on the side of our refrigerator. Danielle's got this big calendar, one of them dry erase boards you wipe off, and every time, so a new month, put new dates, new plans, and we got a smart aleck sister-in-law that writes stuff she shouldn't write on there. I won't go into that. Plans. In James chapter 4, we will see some advice that through the Holy Spirit of God, James penned. And James gives us this stuff about making plans, okay? And let me start off by saying, I don't think that James or the Holy Spirit of God is against making plans. He gave us a brain to use, did he not? I don't want anybody to think that I'm against making plans, okay? But I want to look at what James has to say in four verses tonight. James chapter 4, 13 through 17. This is what he says. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for an opportunity we have to be here in church tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for speaking to me this morning, Lord. I had a plan, Lord. I had a direction where I thought I was going to go. And Lord, just by sitting there eating breakfast with my wife this morning, Lord, you spoke to my heart about this one verse. And Lord, I know that you've been dealing with me, Lord, about slowing down a little bit, spending more time with my family, spending more time with my wife, spending more time with my kids, Lord, and just taking a step back, Lord. It's not about the business. It's not about the money. It's not about the hustle and bustle, Lord. It's about that quality time with my family, Lord. And you have laid that on my heart, Lord, and I'm thankful for that. And I pray that you continue, Lord, to speak to me on things and what it is you'd have me to do. And Lord, I pray for each person that's here tonight, both individually and collectively as a family, Lord, that we would all open your heart, our hearts, Lord, that we would let you pierce our hearts tonight, Lord, that we'd be overwhelmed by your presence here tonight, Lord, and that we would all leave here, Lord, not just coming to another Sunday night church service, Lord, but we would have church tonight. There is a big difference in going to church and having church, Lord. So help us to remember, Lord, who we're here to worship tonight. And Lord, we give you freedom, Lord. Get me out of the way. Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. And Lord, I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And each person heart here tonight, including mine, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, James, he gives a lot of instruction here, an explanation as to how we should live as followers. And if you study James out, that's what James does a lot. He tells us, he helps us to understand that it's more than being hearers of the word, but doers. Being a Christian is something other than just coming to church and sitting on a church pew. I've done it for many years, don't get me wrong, and there's nothing special about me because I'm preaching tonight, but you know, there's an action. There's action, there's doing, and James, all through the book of James, that's what he focuses on. Read it for yourself. How do we really live in faith, live out the faith? How do we do it? In this passage, he speaks to me, maybe he speaks to you, I'm not sure, but this is what I'm getting out of, about this planning of our lives. Planning our lives. Being so focused on making sure I'm going to have money and retirement and nice things now that it takes up much of my time. And I'm not up here telling you that it's not important, that you shouldn't plan for your future. But let me tell you something, men, myself, your number one responsibility is to bring your family up in the Lord. And if we start putting our jobs, and I've done it, I've got a 24-year-old daughter, Kendall, now, who suffered a lot in her because I didn't get saved until she was older. There was a time in my life when I wasn't saved and Jesus wasn't a priority in my life. He wasn't even a priority, much less the priority. And I can't take those times back. And I'm my own worst critic in those. Do you understand what I'm saying? So she's seen things Dad did that the other kids ain't seen yet or never seen. I never spent time studying the Word with her and doing devotions with her and praying with her. I can't take that back. We cannot, as men, fathers, put jobs and everything else in front of our kids. As I look at this passage, I want us to look at some of these instructions that I see, that is seen here. And not only do I want us to look, okay, and read what this is saying, but most importantly, I want us all, men and ladies, kids, whoever's in here, to not only hear the word, not only see what God says, but to ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us to apply that instruction to our life. Apply. We're good at listening. We're good at saying what we ought to do and what we ought not to do, but the problem comes with the application part, is it not? Who else in here besides me has problems with applying things? We have to apply. Number one, I see that we should not boast in tomorrow. James is speaking in the context of those who are planning on how to make money. That's what I get. And maybe he's just talking to me. How to do business in certain areas. He is saying that we can have all the plans in the world. Plans to make money. Plans to set back for retirement. Plans to buy new houses. Plans to buy new cars. Plans to go on expensive vacations. But none of us know what tomorrow will bring. James says you don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't think James is, as I said earlier, against making plans, nor do I think God's against making plans. I don't think that's what he's saying here. And we'll see in verse 15 and 7 that the bigger problem is that the people James is speaking to are boasting. Y'all pick up the word boasting. You know, they're boasting in their plans to make money and be successful all on their own. They have great plans about making great money, but they don't include the Lord. James says that you don't really know what tomorrow will bring. He reminds them, and he's reminding us, that guess what? Make all the plans you want, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Thus, we are not God. James tells us we cannot control the future because we are not God. You might be saying, or you might be thinking, well, no duh, Brian. I don't have to have you tell me that I ain't God. But I'm telling you, if you're honest with yourself, sometimes we act like we're God. At least I do. We act like we know everything. We act like we control all things. We act like we can control what will happen tomorrow. But the reality is, we don't even know if we're going to step foot out this church tonight. You could walk right out this church, get in your car, and go right out this parking lot and get T-boned. And it'd all be over. Better yet, one of your loved ones could be in a bad accident tonight, and you never get a chance to talk to them again. James says you and I are like a vapor. Our life appears just for a little while, and then it's gone. Now, when I was younger, I used to think 75 years was a long time. Okay, let me go up a little bit. 85. I used to think 75, 85, even 90. Was a long time. Shoot, I remember I was in high school, I used to think it was a long time to get to 21. Don't, see? You with me on that? But think about it. when we think about time in the human sense, we're not thinking about eternity. We don't understand eternity. God's timetable is eternity. This little bitty time that He gives us on the face of this earth is so tiny compared to eternity, it just goes away like a vapor. Even if all of our plans go exactly the way we want them to, even if we make a lot of money, even if you have a perfect family, notice I didn't say me. I'm trying to get y'all to laugh a little bit. Even if you do build a great company, then what? Then what? Big deal. Then what? According to what we just read, like that vapor coming out of that hamburger gravy? Now, the vapor was good smell, okay? I literally counted 1 second. I couldn't see it no more. You understand what I'm talking about? What good is it? What good is all the money? It's like a vapor. It'll all be gone one day. Plans are good. Nothing wrong with having plans. But we have to include Jesus Christ in those plans. We have to include Jesus Christ in those plans. Number two, we got to trust in the Lord. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We need to trust in the Lord. What is the deal with this saying in verse 15? Is James saying that these are like magic words, and if we just say them, everything will be okay? Is he saying if we just continue to recite verse 15, everything's going to be okay? Poof, all of our, no, just keep reciting that verse? Absolutely not. It's the attitude behind the words that matters. It's the attitude with the heart. You understand what I'm talking about? What's behind your actions and your words? It's the attitude of your heart. That's what matters. We need to put our hope and we need to put our faith. And I know you guys have heard all this before, but look, we're hard-headed. We have to be reminded a lot. At least I do. We need to put our hope and our faith and our trust and our desires in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be submissive to God's will and plan for our lives. We need to be submissive to God's will first. God, what is it you'll have me to do? And then we build our plans around those plans, what God tells us to do. And guess what? We don't like doing that because God might take us somewhere else. God might give us a different profession, right? No, God, you don't know what's best for me. I'm staying here where I'm working at because I got a retirement plan. I know more than you, God. Now, guess what? We're starting to act like we're God, right? Like we know more than God. I talked about that a little bit ago. Whatever plans Jesus has for me, Brian Sink, that's exactly what I want. And I'm not just saying that. I said it and didn't mean it for a long time. But here in the last couple of months, God's been doing something in my life, and I, for the first time, Lord, you tell me what you want me to do. You tell me where you want me to go, and I want to do that. If I lose everything I got, with the exception of my family, my house, my vehicles, my money, whatever it is, if that's what God wants me to do, I, Brian Sink, am going to do that. That's what I want. Whatever trials he can use, whatever tribulations he wants to bring in my life that's going to make me complete, I want to be ready for that. I want to keep my eyes focused on him. However he wants to point out my sin and it's going to help me to grow, show me, Lord. If there's sin in my life that I haven't confessed, if there's sin in my life that I'm not recognizing, point it out to me. Give me the strength to overcome that, Lord. It's about surrender, ultimate surrender. However Jesus wants to completely change my earthly plans that I have for my life, and he wants to rewrite a whole new plan for me, I welcome it. That is what James is saying here. It's the attitude behind the words that matter. If we have given our lives to be followers of Jesus, and if you're saved here, you're a follower of Jesus, and if you've given your life to that, then guess what? We have to trust him. Do we really completely trust God? Whatever the Lord wills, in verse 15. Whatever the Lord wills, you young people, everybody, Damien, you're the only one that's not married in here, I guess. I will marry that person if the Lord wills, son. You wait on God to tell you what woman he wants you to be with, and whatever woman he wants you to be with, if you're patient and you wait, there will be no divorce, son. I will go to that school. Damien, another one for you. If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. I will have this many kids. If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. I will work at this place. If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. I will move to this location. If the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, I will attend this church. If the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. I love my father-in-law and I love Miss Sherry. But if the Lord ever directs Brian Sink to go to another church, I gotta go. I will retire at this age if the Lord wills. In 15 years, I'll be how old, honey? Younger than Mikey Gore still. But what if God don't want me to retire just because I can? What if he still wants me to go out and put a septic system in for somebody? But guess what? It ain't the septic system he's concerned about. He wants me to talk to that customer about what Jesus Christ has done in my life and use that problem of a septic system as a way in. I'm convinced with every fiber in me losing my job at Lawrence was not by accident. And God had a plan for me. What about you? I got this one. Look how you like this one. I will buy a 1-ton flatbed, brand spanking new, fully loaded. If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. Are we understanding that what we want, it does matter to a certain degree? But it does not matter more than what God wills and desires for our lives. And it cannot happen apart from God's plan for us. It matters what we want, but it cannot and it does not matter more than what God wants in our life. What He wants us to do. Only got 20 more pages. Nothing, huh? Yeah. Nothing happens outside the sovereign control of God. Not one breath is taken outside of God's control. Not one breath. When you breathe, a lot of breath going on in here, right? A lot of breathing going on. Not a single one of them happens without God's control. Not a single one of them. No one baby is born. No one human dies. Not one diagnosis. Cancer diagnosis is made outside of God's hand. We may not understand it, but He's allowing it to happen. He has a will that is far beyond our own. And He has the wisdom. He has the justice. He has the power. He has the love. He has the understanding. He has the authority. He has the awareness to see that His will comes to pass. It will happen. We are completely dependent on Him, or should be. We must trust in the Lord. James concludes in chapter 4 by pointing us to humility and obedience. Third and final. I was kidding about the 20 pages. Third and final. Live humbly in obedience. Live humbly in obedience. In obedience. James is contrasting. Let me reread 16 and 17 for you real quick. It says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. Remember, that's that word boastings. So he's telling these guys, ye rejoice in your boastings. And he says, this is what he says. All such rejoicing is what? Evil. That's what he says. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. James is contrasting the behavior that he just recommended with what is actually happening with these readers here. Instead of doing what the Lord wills, they are boasting about their own plans, arrogant plans. They're bragging. In the first verse I read, it says they'll go to city and make what? Gain. What is that? More money. That's what they're talking about here. And instead of submitting to the Lord, they are trusting in themselves. We do the same thing. And that's the heart of the problem. We trust in ourselves. And that's why it's arrogant. I was witnessing to a guy one time about 4 years ago. And he told me this, and he's dead now, 40 years old. Fell off the back of a golf cart, hit his head, and died instantly. I witnessed to him one time from Richmond all the way back to Roanoke. It was the hardest I ever witnessed somebody in my life, and this was a very, very, very smart man. And he made this comment to me when we got back close to Roanoke. He said, I believe in one person and one person only, and that's me. He said, because I will not let myself down. That's what he told me. He was an ex-attorney. So for that Christmas, I bought him a little book called A Case for Christ. Anybody ever read that book? I told you to read it, Patty. It's A Case for Christ. It's written by an attorney, very smart attorney, who went out on this adventure, if you will, to try to find this Jesus. His wife was a Christian. He was against it. He found Jesus, or Jesus found him, however you want to put it. He got saved and he wrote a book about it. Guess what I got this gentleman for Christmas that year? Slipped it in there on his desk because I was scared to give it to him face to face. Don't know if he ever read that book. I don't have no idea. But he's got a wife, had a wife, and three beautiful daughters, all still in school. they found that book somewhere when they was going through this stuff. But he told me that. He told me that he only put faith and trust in himself. These people were not only depending on themselves, they were boasting in themselves. They were bragging about it. They were saying this: look how much money I make. Look at my accomplishments. Look at my brand new vehicle. Look at my brand new house. Look at my perfect kids. Damien, you're the only one in here, son. Look at what plans Brian Sink has accomplished. Look at me, look at me. That's what they're saying. Jesus says all such boastings is evil. He doesn't say that it's bad. He does not less than ideal, not less than God's best, but he says it's what? Evil. That's what he says. It is evil to depend on our plans and boast in what we can do by our own strength, our own power, and our plans. But can I tell you this? Whether you are a child of God or not, let me tell you, your talents come from God. We should not boast in our accomplishments, but we should humbly trust the Lord and live a life of obedience to Him. Now, if you're blessed with a good job and you're blessed with a lot of money, amen. Good. Give glory to God for that. Give glory to God for that. James describes this obedience in verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. This is very powerful. This is not any new thought. But James is reminding us through repetition. I've heard said that before. Why? Because we're hard-headed. Why is it constant reminder? Because we're hard-headed. Why does he keep saying it? Because we're hard-headed. Read his book. You'll see what I'm talking about. We're hard-headed. It takes us a lot of times to learn something, right? Who in here has a problem with retention, right? It's pretty, can anybody remember what Pastor preached back this morning? That's what I thought. I'm just kidding, you may have. I can't really remember. 1 Peter or something? 2 Peter? Anyway, you understand retention. If we know the good that we ought to do and we don't do it, we are sinning. Just call it what it is. It's a sin. This is the sin of omission. Omission, not commission, omission. All right? The sin of commission is when we actually do something that we are forbidden to do. That's a sin too. God forbids us to do this, we do it anyway. That's a sin. Right? That's the sin of commission. Now, the sin of omission is leaving out something that we're told to do. Leaving out something that we're told to do. Omission. This would be that you omit something. When we are told to love our neighbor and we don't, sin of omission. When we are told to be ambassadors to Jesus Christ and we don't, sin of omission. When we are told to forgive and we don't, sin of omission. James said in 17, it is sin to know to do good and do not do it. We should forget about our plans, our arrogant plans at times. We should avoid being just an arrogant vapor that fades away. Instead, we should humbly obey the Lord Jesus. Bottom line, we need to live today for the Lord today. We need to live for the Lord today. And we need to trust the Lord for tomorrow. Live for the Lord today and trust the Lord for tomorrow. That's what we need to be doing. We should find comfort that no matter how our life turns out, in terms of what the world values, the people around us, Buchanan, your friends, your family, they value those things, and we do too at times. If we follow the Lord faithfully, we will have a life of significance. And that's what I title it. We will have a life of significance. Not significant from the world's view, but significance from God's view. What's more important? Where does God fit into your plans? Now you think about that for a minute. And be honest with God. Where does He fit into your plans? Wednesday night. Lord, I'm going to show up Wednesday night. I'll give you Wednesday night. What about the rest of tonight? What about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? And I'm preaching to myself, guys. Remember, God gave me this message from Vapor from Hamburger Gravy. He's fussing at me, too. Where does God fit into your plans? Where does God fit into your plans? What future do you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you honestly, wholeheartedly given yourself to Him? Completely. I'll say this, and Paul, you can come up. I can sit here and honestly tell you guys from the bottom of my heart, I find comfort in the fact that my future is guided by my hope in Jesus and my trust in will, His will for my life. Whatever He wants me to do, whatever He wants me to go, wherever He wants me to work, I need clear direction, Lord. Speak to my heart. And that's what we're going to do. When we get there, all of us, we will have daily fresh encounters with Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with planning. But we've got to include Jesus in our plans. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for just for everything that You have done for each and every one of us, for everything that You're currently doing for us, and then everything that You're going to do for us. And Lord, I pray that You would help each and every one of us to slow down, to take each day one at a time, to take the time to go out and get some fresh air, look at Your beautiful artwork, especially this time of year, instead of just driving down the road so concerned about plans that we miss what's happening right now. Lord, reveal Yourself to us every single day. Help us, Lord. Help us. We're begging You. We need You. We cannot do it in the flesh, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight under the sound of my voice that does not have a real, genuine relationship with You, that they would get my attention, Lord, and let me show them what Your word says about being saved and having that relationship, that eternal relationship. Help them to not be scared, be afraid, but they stand on courage, Lord, and strength, trusting You tonight. Lord, for those of us that do have a relationship with You, Lord, maybe our relationship isn't where it needs to be. Maybe we failed. maybe we failed really bad, even today. Lord, we ask that you would just forgive us for that and then give us a, and that's what's wonderful, Lord. You want to help us. You want us to understand your will in our lives. You want to give us strength. You want to give us hope. You want to be an encourager for us, Lord. So help us, Lord. We all struggle with different things. So help us. And Lord, we just ask that you be with each family that's represented here as we go our separate ways tonight. Pray for traveling mercies back home. And Lord, help us to just remember what you've spoke to us about, not only tonight, but maybe throughout today, the Sunday school hour, preaching hour this morning, or maybe just our one-on-one time with you, Lord. If there's anyone here that made commitments tonight, Lord, including myself, pray that you give us the strength to uphold those commitments, Lord. Remind us of those commitments that we've made. And Lord, we're going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We love you, we praise you, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.